This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Again, greetings and welcome to our lesson today. We're certainly glad you've tuned us in. Now, again, if you'd like to contact me, you can do so either through my website or by regular mail. This program can be re-listened to on the website. The website has a weekly meditation that you might find interesting, as well as quite a little other information. So if you'd like either the website address or my mailing address, you might want to get a pencil and a piece of paper out now so you can write those addresses down at the close of the program. Now, today I want to deal with the issue of freedom or liberty. It seems as though having passed July 4th, we need to think a little bit about those things. I think the idea of freedom and liberty are misunderstood in our generation. Most people seem to think that liberty is the ability to make all of your own decisions. And if that were true liberty, from a governmental standpoint, that would be true anarchy. And anarchy is where there is no government, there are no restrictions, but yet then it becomes a case of mob rule, and you're more concerned about the mob than you probably were originally concerned about the fact that you felt your original government was somewhat restrictive. Now, I don't want to look at this from a natural standpoint, a natural political standpoint, so much as I want to look at this from the standpoint of the what the Bible teaches about liberty. Now, we all know that there are verses in the Bible that are often quoted. For example, you'll hear people say from John 8 and verse 36, "Therefore, if the Son makes you free, ye shall be free indeed." Now, what does that mean? Romans 6 and verse 17 says, "But God be thanked that though you were the servants or slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became the slaves of righteousness." Now, I think that helps us understand John 8 and 36. If the Son makes you free, ye shall be free indeed. I think the idea in the Bible is that nobody is free of all restraint. But freedom has to do with making a wise choice, a free choice, about whom we are going to serve. And in the Bible, there's only two masters. And we find this laid out for us in Romans chapter 6. We can serve sin, and sin is really a way of talking about Satan. It's a way of talking about the force for evil in this world. We can serve sin. We can do that through the lusts of the flesh. We can do that by listening to ungodly teachers. We can do it by rebelling against common sense. But we can serve sin, or we can serve righteousness. And according to the Bible, we do one or the other. Righteousness is another way of looking at serving Christ. In the Bible, we're told that we can't serve two masters, and that particular reference has to do with money. You cannot serve God and mammon. But mammon, or money, or the lust and for things, covetousness and greed, those things are diametrically opposed. And if you are serving mammon, then you are not serving God. You cannot serve godly principles. And so we see this choice throughout the Bible. Who are we going to serve? I think Joshua faced that choice in the Old Testament. When we read, I think it's in Joshua 24, "For if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river," that is on the other side of the Euphrates River in Babylon, "or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell." And so they could serve false gods from their background, or they could serve false gods that were attractive in the land of Canaan. Or he says, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." We will serve Jehovah. We will serve the living God. And I've often said that this is a self-evident decision for Joshua. He's seen the way in which the Lord led the children of Israel across the wilderness. He's been the captain of their of the salvation of the children of Israel when they go in and liberate the land from those who have turned away from God, so that they can serve God and be a testimony to the name of the Lord in that land. He's seen the blessing that's associated with serving Jehovah or the living God, and he doesn't see that there's any choice to be made. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And it's interesting that many people who have seen the blessings of the Lord in their life still turn away from that and think that the lies that are being perpetuated by other systems and religions and by other teachers will bring them more satisfaction than the truth that we find in the scripture. And I think many people fail to understand that part of freedom in the scripture, the freedom to serve the Lord, involves not just how we live for time, but it involves where we'll exist for eternity. And we need to keep eternity in view when we make the decision as to whom we will serve. Joshua says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And so in John 8, when it says, therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. I think the idea is that we will be free from sin so we can serve the Lord, but we won't be living in a circumstance where there is no guidance, restraint, or rule or authority. So I want to read to you, I told you that you could read my meditations on my website, but I want to read the meditation to you that I wrote for June 29 having to do with this very issue, and I've titled it, Have We Been Truly Liberated? And this meditation is based on 2 Peter 2 and verse 19, which says, while they promise them liberty, and this is a passage dealing with false teachers within the church, by the way, while they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. This is a very important passage because there are people who not only themselves are serving the corrupt influences of this world, whose minds have been deceived, but it seems that they want others to follow them. And I think we see that when we find out that people that smoke like to encourage others to smoke. People who take drugs often try to encourage others to take drugs as a part of a bond of fellowship. We see all kinds of evidences in our day and age that people who are involved in certain kinds of sin like to encourage others to get involved in that sin in order so that they can have a circle of fellowship within that sin. And so often the people who are telling people that they're going to be liberated, that is, that they're going to be able to throw off the old-fashioned restraints of morality and the ungodly requirements of a holy life, they're going to be able to throw those off and enjoy themselves, those people themselves are in bondage, and they're in bondage to their habits, and they are in bondage to a reprobate mind, a sinful mind. So what I've written about this goes like this. Today, all of us want to make our own mistakes, and make them we do. We think we have become enlightened about moral issues and refuse to follow principles that are good for society and that can be found in any decent legal system. The principles that have stood the test of time are usually found in the Bible. And the younger generation doesn't read that old book anymore. And the older generation has done their best to reinterpret it so that the younger generation is not offended. After all, we are an enlightened, liberated society. Or are we? False teachers are dealt with in this passage. So in this passage, Peter tells us false teachers will exist in the church just as false prophets existed in Israel. They will teach destructive heresies. That is, they will divide people with their departure from orthodox established biblical truth. They will be covetous. Because of them, unbelievers will take a dim view of biblical truth. Many will follow them. Why do people follow them? I think verse 19 answers that. They promise liberty. Remember, while they promise them liberty, they themselves are the slaves of corruption. They promise liberty. Is that what results from their teaching? I don't think so. Many false teachers maintain that any restraints or limits placed on our actions are restrictions of our liberty. We keep hearing about victimless crimes and the right to live our own lives and the right to defend our own rights. All of us have fought with unreasonable restrictions in our lives. But where there is no respect for authority, there is anarchy. Anarchy, where there is no recognized governmental authority, creates confusion and disorder. Everyone has to fear everyone rather than just fearing an established governmental order. Where there is anarchy, there is certainly not liberty. While all of us would like the liberty to make our own decisions, we all need guidance in making those decisions. When those decisions are made by listening to teachers that are telling us to do things that will bring us into bondage, we are certainly not getting liberated. Just talk to the person who is convinced to start smoking, or the person who is convinced to try addictive drugs. If their freedom brought them true liberty, talk to the teenage single mom who was convinced that old-fashioned standards of morality were too restrictive. Having a child without a wedding and without a father willing to take responsibility for the child is anything but liberating. While false teachers may convince our young people that old-fashioned standards of morality are too restrictive and that they need the liberty to make their own mistakes, the real problem is that false teachers deny accountability to the living God who made them. False teachers may look successful, may have published books, may have gone to well-known seminaries, but when they deny the Lord that bought them, that's in our verse for today, they certainly are not liberated themselves, nor are they liberating their listeners. So I am glad we live in a country that does not demand that we worship a certain God a certain way. There is one important freedom, and we have it in this country, and that's the freedom to worship as we think best, as we please, or not worship at all. However, because of that freedom, we each have to decide whether to worship the God of self-centered pleasure and so-called liberty, or whether to repent and believe the gospel. In this country, we can believe whom we want to believe. I personally believe God. That has given me the liberty to serve a new master. That master is the Lord Jesus Christ. I have found his yoke easy and his burden to be light. And I trust that you too are serving that master today. And if you haven't, that even today you will repent and believe the gospel. Friend, you're either in bondage, you're either a slave to sin. And that's going to take you to destruction, perhaps in this life, but if not in this life, in the next. Or you're going to be liberated from that so you can serve the Lord and enjoy his presence for the endless ages of eternity. And I will guarantee you that his path in this life is going to be a blessing to you as well. Now, our Heavenly Father, we pray for thy blessing upon all that has been of thyself. We thank thee for thy love, and we pray for our listeners in our Savior's name. Amen. Now, our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com. bdcministries.faithweb.com. And we do thank you for listening.